Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The locker room there is a little different than what I'm used to. I think, you know, being in Jacksonville, that locker room was more vocal. Guys, if they're bitter, they're going to show it. They're going to talk about it. And Green Bay is a little different.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you are here. Always appreciate you hanging out with us. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. At Mike Clemens here in studio. And, Mike, you know, it's interesting right now in Green Bay because of the Michael Silver article, basically saying that Matt LaFleur would like, you know, it doesn't really afford, as we were talking with Paul Emmick, it doesn't afford a lot of changes at the line of scrimmage because of the motion, because of the personnel packages. And he's trying to figure out a good medium ground right now with Aaron Rodgers.
As Paul Emmick just said, Michael Silver, one of the best in the business. He's been in the NFL, covering the NFL over 30 years, newspaper man who's now working for the NFL Network. I remember 20 years ago getting stuck on a train, an overhead train in San Diego to the Super Bowl when the Packers were going to be playing the Broncos out there. Long, funny story. But anyway, I saw him on the sideline last week, Tuesday, at minicamp, and you know, got the handshake from him and everything because he's, you know, he's a long-time familiar face. And when Michael Silver comes, that we know that this is time now for these guys to get it out there. And I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is smart to say, when's this coming out next week? Great. Then, you know, I'll be off and gone in some island someplace. And so they know when they're dropping their little bombs, right? And so Michael is there talking to Aaron, and he's, but what's the quote there? He basically says, I've been doing this 11 years, and, you know, there's no need to change right
now. Yeah, he just basically said, you know, LaFleur, as far as the marriage, is still the honeymoon phase. It's going on. But Aaron Rodgers, he said, I don't think you want to ask me to turn off 11 years of recognizing defenses. We have a number of check with me's, the line of scrimmage stuff.
And the night before,
he said, it's just the other stuff that really not many people can do in this league. That's not a humble brag or anything. That's just a fact. There aren't many people that can do at the line of scrimmage what I've done for over the years.
Now, the night before, Michael Silver is up in LaFleur's office, and they happen to have the NBA Finals game on when Durant has the Achilles. And LaFleur says, oh, man, I think I know what just happened to him. That's what happened to me, as he's, you know, grabbing the back of his leg and then taking him off and everything. And they were talking about the challenge that he's going to have to face with, you know, this super quarterback and Aaron Rodgers, but he's had so much freedom, and how do you rein this guy in? Now, I thought the best quote, the best insight as to what happened last season, but turned out to be McCarthy's last season, is from Mercedes Lewis. This is a guy who had 13, 14 years with the Jaguars that the Packers faced a couple of years ago in a season opener and said, that's the kind of thing that we need on the field. And they replaced Martellus Bennett with Mercedes Lewis. And at the time that Mercedes had these quotes, I don't think he thought he was coming back to Green Bay because the head coach had been fired, and he just figured, man, that's it. They're not going to call me back. They hardly used me this year. Well, that's just the opposite. Brian Gutekunst thought, no, Jimmy Graham and Mercedes Lewis were underutilized in that offense. We think that there's still something left in the tank for these guys. We think Mercedes Lewis is a tremendous blocking tight end. So this is Mercedes Lewis talking to Martellus Bennett on the set of Yahoo Sports about the Rodgers and McCarthy, what'd you call it, schism, you know, was happening toward the end last year.
You know, all of that stuff that happened towards the end in Green Bay all came from the top. I felt like, you know, Aaron had his own set of things that he wanted to do. And then, you know, obviously McCarthy had his things that he wanted to do. But I just think it was a little dysfunction. The one time I really saw it for the first time is we were in the huddle. And Aaron was like, I guess McCarthy called into play. And Aaron kind of was like, nah. He's like, Devontae, give me this. Sadie's, come off the ball. You give me this. Gave a direction and a protection to the line and went. And it was 4 minute offense. He threw a 40-yard bomb for a completion. I'm like, what's really going on? Like, I've never seen nothing like that before in my life.
Yeah, I've never, like, that. But the thing with that whole thing was like,
this is Martellus.
As a tight end, I think McCarthy's offense was one of the worst offenses you could be in as a tight end.
No question.
Like, you're not getting the seam balls. You're not getting the deep sevens. You're not getting the deep over routes. They don't call that. So I think a lot of stuff that you build as a tight end to be productive, I think that's a lot of reason why they haven't had a productive tight end, like an overly productive tight end in years there, because of the way that offense is run. But also, Aaron likes to throw the ball to the outside of the field and not in the middle of the field. So it's like, when you look at, as a tight end, when you look at certain quarterbacks, there's some people who like to eat up the middle, but Aaron like to hit them outside comebacks, 19-yard, 25-yard comebacks. He just like to show off.
Just throwing the ball from one hash all the way to the sideline.
Did he ever hit you with a no-look pass?
Did he?
Did you drop it?
Bro, nah, I like bobbled it and caught it.
I dropped it. I was like, what the f*** that?
Bro,
the no-look pass.
Right.
See? And this is the other thing about these guys. When they're out there on the practice field with Aaron Rodgers, they can't believe the things that he does, the way he looks off receivers, defenders, safeties. This is Mercedes talking to Martellus Bennett about Aaron Rodgers and his look-away throws.
Like, he'll do, like in a quick game, like, say if it's, like drag slant, right? If you have, like, a flat route and a slant. So Aaron will drop back, and he's looking at the slant, but he'll throw the flat, or vice versa. He'll look here and throw it to the slant. And it'd be on the money, though. And his release is, like, very different, man. It's not your conventional, like, stand up tall, throw the ball over the top. He can throw the ball anywhere from any point in the pocket like this.
And he doesn't need the laces.
Does not need the laces.
Yeah.
So these two veteran tight ends talking about Aaron Rodgers, and another interesting point in there is when they say is Aaron doesn't like to throw the ball over the middle. Well, that's where a tight end makes his bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of tough to be a tight end in Green Bay if you're not going to throw the ball over the middle, because even in a season where you go 6-9-1, the guy only threw two interceptions the entire season.
The last guy that – Jermichael Finley would every now and then – but the last guy to really go over the middle and make a living at it was Donald Driver.
Sure. Exactly.
That was the last guy to do it.
Exactly. And that was mostly Favre era, too.
That was mostly Favre, but the inside slant was something that was just a work of art when it came to that inside slant with Donald Driver.
Now, you see LaFleur trying to work that ball into Jimmy Graham when they're in the two-minute drill, you know, or the red zone drill. So we asked Aaron the other day, is this offense under LaFleur, are you going to try and get the ball more often to Jimmy Graham and to Mercedes Lewis?
You know, the league's about matchups, and I think that's what I'm liking about this offense is we're constantly trying to find ways to get those guys in positive matchups. You know, every play has, you know, whether it's a scheme or a motion or an adjustment that can kind of get those guys in opportunities to be number one or two in the progression. Because we know that, you know, if you're throwing the ball on time, that's where the ball is going to go. So just more opportunities, I think, for Jimmy. And some of the stuff that we're doing gives him opportunities to get the ball in rhythm instead of relying on off schedule or a third or fourth read on a play.
Like the LA Rams offense, what they've shown us in these OTAs and minicamp is there's a lot more motion. And that helps out the quarterback figure out where the coverage is going to be. That helps try and take off the shield of the disguise of what the defense is trying to throw at you. And Rodgers also revealed a couple of other things. We were talking about Davante Adams saying, kind of comparing his moves at the line, beating double coverages like a killer move in basketball. And Aaron said, yeah, well, you know, Davante should talk because his jumpers need some work. So then after the masses left, I was like, what are you talking about Davante shooting baskets? Because that makes people a little nervous right now around 1265, right? After the Battle of LaFleur. And he's like, well, we've got this little pickup game thing. We got a little league going. There's LaFleur put in a 10-foot bucket in the team meeting room. And so, you know, after a meeting or something like that, they actually shoot some buckets right there in that big classroom that fits 50, 60 people in it. And so then we asked Matt LaFleur about this little basketball bracket that they've going on. Because, you know, what happens in the team meeting room is supposed to stay in the team meeting room.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why when we asked LaFleur about this basketball hoop and bracket he's got in the indoor hoops contest team meeting room, what's going up with that?
How'd you know about that? We're close. We're going to be, tomorrow will be the finals. So we'll let you know who won that one.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, that's LaFleur kind of like, well, who told you that? Your quarterback did.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. And inside secrets being divulged, apparently, I guess. I don't even know if it's a big deal, but we'll get back into this. Hang in there. We got more of Mike Clemens. Stay tuned. We got more right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Well, it's not just about them. It's us as coaches, too. I mean, it starts with us. We got to coach a heck of a lot better in order to have higher expectation level and higher standards. It starts with me. I got to do a better job.
Welcome back. The words of Matt LaFleur. And if you haven't read it yet, the Michael Silver article came out, and Matt LaFleur, when asked about his working relationship with Aaron Rodgers, said, "Aaron and I have had some good talks, and we're going to have to talk a lot more. And one thing we have to work through is this audible thing. We're running a system I first picked up when I was working with Kyle Shanahan in Houston a decade ago, and we've never really had a quarterback who had a complete freedom to change plays at the line, because that's not really the way the offense is set up. But, I mean, this is Aaron Rodgers. He has had a lot of freedom to make those calls, and deservedly so. Now, how do we reconcile that and get to a place that where we can put him in the best position to succeed?"
Michael Silver, one of the best connected reporters in the NFL, does it really well, makes it kind of fun, no light, but he gets right to the core of things. When the Packers lost to the Rams last year, he's the guy that got those quotes from the locker room. The guys were coming to him, probably Devontae, probably Clay, like, "What was Ty Montgomery thinking coming out, man? What was that?" You know, well, you got the sense that these players were ticked off. They were pissed at their teammate on blowing the game by taking it out of the end zone rather than just taking a knee and giving it to the offense and letting Rodgers have a shot at it with the last couple of minutes left of the game. Michael gets those kinds of stories. People know that that's the flagpole they want to run that one up on. As for Aaron, you know, for him to also, you know, put out there on the NFL Network, like, you know, I've seen this for 11 years. You know, you've got to trust my judgment at changing a play. I'm not going to get killed from some defensive lineman when I clearly see what a defense is about to run. But he also said, "Look, I'm struggling too, because this is all new language, all new routes. We've got different motions, and so trying to feel in sync, to have the timing down, to know it like the back of your hand, like he's had the last 11 years with the previous offensive scheme under Mike McCarthy, that's taking time in practice.
It comes down to instincts. That's the most important thing when you get there and play. But I think you can retrain some of those instincts as well. And with a new offense, I'm really trying to trust the progressions in my eyes and learn timing on different things. And in order to do that, you really have to take a bit of a chance to develop. But that being said, you know, once you get into a live environment, I'm not just going to stand there in the face of a, you know, bearing down, you know, defensive lineman and get rocked, especially in the preseason. The most important thing for me is just train my eyes so I know exactly where guys are going to be and when progressions kind of open up. And once I have that down, I feel like I've got it down pretty well. Then I can just go out and play.
So it's Aaron basically saying when he gets it down, he can just go do his thing. But again, it's like Paul and I were trying to figure out. To be honest, Mike, I think that...
Beg for forgiveness later.
Yeah, I kind of look at it as the... Matt LaFleur said in the article that there was a play that he had scripted, and Aaron ran it. The guys were covered. Aaron and Jimmy Graham kind of got on the same page. Graham makes a great catch in the back of the end zone. The play worked. LaFleur kind of laughed about it and said, "Hey, you know, it's a veteran making a veteran play." What I question is not so much when the plays are working and when we're doing it in camp, in a mini camp or whatever, but once you get into game 4 or game 5 and the off-script stuff becomes the norm, you know, at what point then, if it's not working, do you rein it in? Or do you say, "Aaron not only has it down, but he's got the improv down on my offense as well"? This is the reason I'm not overreacting to this, because Matt LaFleur is learning as much about Aaron Rodgers as Aaron Rodgers is about Matt LaFleur. The difference is the guy that has all the cards is not Matt LaFleur. It's Aaron Rodgers, and he knows it.
Well, Rodgers' frustration obviously was to the point where this is so stale. Everybody knows what we're about to run. I've got to make some changes because we're going to run into a Mack truck here in terms of the coverage we've got against that team. I also thought, and this is something I'll get into maybe in our next visit, You know that last, second to last game there in New York against the Jets? And Rodgers said, we really need to win this one, not only because we need a win, but he says we need to have a win on the road. And, you know, we've got guys like Marquez and Javier and these rookies. They've never had the experience yet in Green Bay of coming home on a road trip on the team plane with a win. We need that. And I thought the team played great, and Rodgers looked like he was just having fun, man. Just out there making up plays. The game goes into the overtime. You know, Philbin just let him do whatever he did, and they ended up pulling out a win against a Jets team that was putting up a fight, even though they knew their head coach was on the hot seat and likely out. Jets put up a pretty good fight. They tried to improve throughout the season. And then the very next week, Rodgers goes down in the first or second series with the concussion against the Lions, and the Lions drill you at home at Lambeau Field, 31-0, and the whole team quits. And that's something that I'm still very concerned about. Not only whether DeShone Kizer is worthy of being a backup quarterback, but just, and there's a couple of guys removed. I mean, you know, blame that on Clay Matthews, and Nick Perry was out at that point. This is still the same team. So I'm just saying that there better be some more fight in this team than that. And even though, yeah, I know it was last game of the season, they probably, and their coach had already been fired, all that. That performance concerned me. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, maybe this guy's the number two receiver in his second year, surpassing Geronimo Allison. He has had some routes where he's just blazing guys, torching guys. Even Darnell Savage Jr., the first-round pick out of Maryland with the 4.3 speed. How does MVS get past him by a couple of steps? Now, Marquez, you see them working on the sidelines, though, with some of his basics just coming out of his routes, and I talked to him about that. And then after that, you'll hear Aaron Rodgers talking about MVS.
Of course, everyone has, you know, different ways of how they want things done. So with this staff, they want things different from how the last staff did. So they're going to have to teach what they want. And there's give and take to that, and we go from there.
I think MVS has really been watching them closely and picking things up and playing as fast as his time. I think that's an issue with any player, is you might time at a super quick 40, but how fast do you play? It's at football speed. It's kind of the opposite for a guy like James Jones, who timed kind of slow, but he played fast. MVS is playing a lot closer to his 40 time speed, which is saying a lot because he's pretty damn fast.
And that's knowing what you're doing.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. You got time for one more segment?
Sure.
We'll do a break real quick because we're sitting here at 45. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. Mike Clemens here in studio. We got more right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels Show, we are on the air. We are glad you're on board today. As always, we certainly appreciate you hanging out with us. Bill Michaels here, Radio Joe in the studio, and also our buddy Mike Clemens, who brings us the Green and Gold Reports, which are brought to you by our friends at Chili's. You got the 3 for $10 going on. Starter, entree, and a drink, just $10 with five crowd-pleasing entrees to choose from. It's awesome. It's never been easier to make the whole table happy together. We Chili's. There you go. Mike here in studio, and this portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip as well, who also remind you we have some cigar dinners coming up. We have more on the docket. Go to tobaccooutletplusgrocery.com to see where and when, and they're always fun, so get your tickets now. So as we kind of wrap things up here in the program, Mike, the discussion is going to ramble on until we see the proof in the pudding, so to speak, regarding Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur. And look, like I said, I'm not overly concerned about it right now. I know some people are. I think, as Matt LaFleur had put it towards the end of this piece, this Michael Silver piece, this is not a battle of wills as to who's right or wrong. This is two minds trying to find a common ground, basically. It's trying to find a common ground.
Trying to find results.
They want the result to be the same. They want to be able to move this offense up and down the field and really support what the defense is trying to put together. So it's as Aaron Rodgers said, it won't call it checks just to call checks. He said, look, you know, the offense is great, and you need some people up front and have formations and motions, and it should be fantastic. But if we need a little something, it's because we, quote, need it. So in other words, I'm not going to call stuff just to call stuff, but if I feel the time is right, I'm calling it.
And who's picking up the offense the fastest, particularly amongst the receivers, is going to factor in. It's also going to make a tough decision for Brian Gutekunst when it comes to making the roster choices when they get into training camp. You got Davante Adams, who everybody thinks is headed to a Pro Bowl season. Missed a couple of these OTA practices. He had something slight going on. We don't know exactly what it was. But after that, is the number two guy going to be Geronimo Allison at wide receiver, or has Marquez Valdes-Scantling stepped up into that number two slot? And that means you got Geronimo. You've got Equanimeous St. Brown, who seems to be lagging behind a little bit in terms of learning the new offense in his second year, but he's still got an awful lot of talent. He was kind of a breakthrough guy that I talked about early last year. And then Jake Kumerow, who Aaron Rodgers, you know, talked up a lot, 27 years old, but just like everything that he does. Jamon Moore, a couple of drop passes out there. There's a guy named Tail Redding, number 88. He's out of Bowling Green, I think his 40 time is 4.5. They've got him in the short line as a kick returner, too. So you'll see him in the preseason. And, oh, what about Trevor Davis? We almost forgot about him.
The returner.
Number 11, yeah. The guy, the returner. Now, what's funny is he's made a couple of these spectacular catches, and he's talking about, yeah, he's got to make a whole new first impression on this coaching staff.
Yeah, I pride myself in being multifaceted right now, and it's just really going out there, and it's been a good offseason with showing what I can do with receiver as well. I mean, I feel like the coaches already have known that I'm a good returner, as well as punt, kickoff, whatever the case may be, make tackles. I'll do really anything on special teams.
You know, we joke about how the perfect throw to Trevor is either behind him, way in front of him, or above his head where he's got to jump, because he's, he's almost 100% on those plays. So we laugh sometimes. You throw it behind him, he makes this, like, super routine kind of behind him catch, doesn't really break stride, and that's a perfect pass because it's, you know, right in the sweet spot. But he's done a nice job for us every day. He's, you know, there's been kind of one play he's made that jumps out on the film, and you just got to keep rolling when we get the pads on.
Which is a way of saying he drops the one thrown right.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
And then it's the offensive line, and you talk to the veterans there about what's really going on and what does this feel like, and because you see a lot of dialogue with them and their new offensive line coach is the same age as them, really, Adam Stenovich. And you talk to a veteran like Brian Bulaga, and so what's this environment feel like so far under Matt LaFleur's coaching staff?
It's different. It's very different, but at the same time, I mean, that mental stimulation, not just in the classroom but on the field, processing different things and different terminologies in that blink of an eye and pass protections when, you know, our defense brings a lot of crazy pressures and having to think on the move. And then when you accomplish it and you go back and watch it and you clean things up and see how far we've come from when we just did that first mini camp till now. So I think there's been a lot of good steps taken. It's just, you know, I think training camp will be able to solidify a lot of this stuff and it's going to look cleaner.
And then David Bakhtiari, I mean, this guy comes out of Colorado State and beats Clay Matthews on one-on-ones and wins the left tackle job as a fourth rounder, and he has been protecting Aaron Rodgers incredibly well for these last 6-7 years. And now you've got a bunch of new guys coming in saying, well, you're going to have to change because this is how we're going to run the outside zone scheme. And David says, you know, wait a minute. I've beaten just about every good defensive end and outside linebacker in the NFL, but I'll listen to what you've got to say.
At the end of the day, it's a philosophy. It's an understanding. There's certain things that are the same, but at the end of the day, the foundation's different. The ideology of what we're trying to accomplish as an offense and to show to the defenses is different, and that's something that we're going to have to, you know, we've learned it now. Now it's come. We're now in the next step of mastering it. I've always been a firm believer of you can always learn more. You can always take in techniques, but you got to make it your own. I will never move the same way as Brian Bulaga. Brian will never move the same way as Lane Taylor. Lane will never move the same way as Corey. So for us is to understand the technique, take in the technique, but then also make it your technique.
Now, these guys, they have an open mind, really. They're going to trust these guys, and they're trying to have an open mind and learn these new ways. But at the same time, they say, I've been doing this too long, and I've been in these battles, and I know how to beat these guys. And you've got to listen to me as well. So somewhere between that, LaFleur can install this. But the other thing, too, is that offensive line, they are all excited by, in fact, that they are going to run the ball more.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the key. Run the damn ball on first and second down.
If the run game works, it accentuates what they want to do.
Don't audible out of it. Run the football.
That's the key. Will they audible out of it? No doubt. Anything else?
No.
Like what OJ had to say?
Please delete that. Do not follow that knucklehead. Please, please, please. And I'll get off my soapbox now.
Okay. We promised it to you. Thank you, Michael.
He was good in Airplane.
Did you hear what he was good in Airplane? Yes. Yeah. And Naked Gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, Naked Gun. Yeah. Did you hear the little diatribe that he gave? Joe, do we have time for it? A little piece of it?
I have to wait till tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
It's a shame.
Yeah, it's whenever you miss out on some good OJ banter. You know, I'm sure the conversation in that Bronco was pretty stifling as well.
No doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. So tomorrow on the program, we'll get into some discussions regarding Brewers baseball. Our insiders, Adam McAlvey from Brewers.com and MLB.com, is going to be here. Jeremy Jeffress is going to be here. I'm sure there's going to be more discussion on the Michael Silver piece and because now they drop those and they walk away until the dust settles after training camp gets underway.
Timing is everything in these things. And yeah. Guess what?
I mean, Bakhtiari's, that's an honest moment in which he just simply says, look, why are we working on my drop step of technique when
right.
I'm not the same as everybody else? So I understand that. But I do like the fact that they want to do everything, get back to the details and the basics and do it right. Because, I mean, isn't that what we all brag about when we talk about Bill Belichick? We're going to do it right. We're going to do it over and over again until it's perfect on the field.
And if you're Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams and you run the outside zone, that means you get to the outside. You know why? You don't take so many hits up the middle.
That's exactly right.
Save your body.
Yep, that's exactly right. So, you know, hey, live to fight another day. And that's what we will do. Good stuff, Michael. Appreciate it as always,
pal.
There you go. Joe Zinzola. I'm Bill Michaels. Until we chat again tomorrow, have a good one.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.